This is the Faith Debate on WFMD 930 on your dial. Also online at WFMD.com. This show is brought to us by Hilo Auto Sales. Online at Hilo Auto Sales. Or actually, it's HiloAuto.com, I think. Maybe it's HiloAutoSales.com. I should Google that and find out. And also Tire Pros of Frederick. Oh, thank them so much for their sponsorship of this show. And thank you for listening. And we've got, I tried my darndest to make them never want to come back on the show last week, but Julius Schern, the pastor of St. John's Bible Fellowship Church, he's back again for more abuse. And Kendall Lovelace, the evangelist at St. John's Bible Fellowship, is back as well. And Daniel Rasby, thank goodness for him, he was the voice of reason last week. He is a recent graduate and just took the bar. I'm sure he passed. He's graduated from Oak Brook College of Law in California, and a really sharp guy. And his father is a friend of the show and has been on this show a number of times, Imran Rasvi. And if you haven't listened to any of those shows, try to see if they might be available on our website as well. He's got a really cool, unique testimony that's really interesting to hear. So I teased a story last week that we didn't get to, and I feel badly about that. It was kind of a bait and switch, you know? I overpromised, underdelivered, and that's not my motto. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I do want to touch on it, and maybe just from the pastors kind of get their quick take, and then we'll move on to some other issues. Heritage Academy bars pregnant teen from commencement. That's the title. This is from the Herald Mail, by the way. This was this past graduation season, this past May. 18-year-old student at Hagerstown Area Christian School. She has been disallowed from participating in her graduation ceremony because she is pregnant. Maddie Runkles has maintained high marks in her classes, participated in athletics, and served as student council president at Heritage Academy. But the school has barred her from walking at graduation on June 2nd, according to a story first published in the Sunday New York Times. The Times says that the school wanted the story to remain private, but the family made it not be so private, so now they had to publicly comment. It caused a big rift in the school, as I understand it, a rift in the community, a big rift on Facebook. That's how I came to be aware of this story originally, was seeing people talking about it on Facebook. Heritage Principal David Hobbs, in a written statement on behalf of the school's board of directors, said that Maddie would earn a diploma and called her pregnancy an internal issue about which much prayer and discussion has taken place. So she got her diploma, but they weren't going to let her walk. And I don't think she did walk as it ended up. The topic illustrates an issue faced by Christian schools which advocate abstinence until marriage and how they handle teen pregnancy or other prohibited acts. Faith-based schools typically have a statement of faith or behavioral code, sometimes requiring students to sign at the beginning of each year. That was the case here. Maddie had to sign such a thing. And it forbids them from doing certain things such as premarital sex and the use of drugs, alcohol, things like that. And so, Maddie, unless it was some sort of, you know, miraculous occurrence, she violated their code of conduct with premarital sex because she was pregnant. But the outrage came because she decided to keep the baby and let her pregnancy show, and the school could see that she was pregnant and said, oh, you had premarital sex, you can't walk with the rest of your classmates when you graduate as a punishment. And pro-life advocates said, whoa, 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 you're punishing her for keeping the baby. It's a complicated issue, and I know how complicated and how in the weeds we can get, because I ended up jumping into the Facebook fray and going back and forth with a number of people and trying to clarify people's thinking, trying to ramp down some of the rhetoric, trying to get people to see things from a biblical point of view. So all of that said, I don't know if you're overly familiar with the story or not, if it's the first time you're hearing about it, but
It's not the first time. Again, greetings. It's not the first time that I've heard the story. The word says that we are to digest God's word and hide them in our heart. As you were speaking, what came to my mind was let those amongst us who is without sin cast the first stone. That's a biblical reference that Jesus confronted the Sanhedrin with. We are all in this flesh, and we're all going to fall short. I'm sure she's not the only person who has sinned in the flesh. We become self-righteous when we pass a judgment on a young girl who is doing what young girls do, and then try to shame her for being human. That's not Christian, and that's not what God would want us to be like.
Well, that represented a pretty large view of what I was seeing on Facebook, what I was interacting with. It's kind of the really, you know, the strong pro-grace view, which, you know, God extends an opportunity for redemption and restoration, and he did that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we should you know, live our lives in a way and have a view on things like this through the lens of mercy and grace. And so I can agree with that. But I can also agree with the argument saying, look, she signed this statement of beliefs and behavior saying that she would abide by it. And if not, she would subject herself to the discipline of the school board, the ruling body. And so they enacted their discipline and she didn't like it. And so some people were saying, look, the Christian thing to do is to look the other way. And some others who were Christians and trying to root their thing in the Bible are saying, look, ours is a righteous God, and he tells us what we're supposed to do. And sometimes we're disciplined and we pay the consequences for our poor choices as a rod of correction to get us back on. And I can agree with that, too. So full disclosure.
We have to be very careful about who is God. God is righteous.
Oh, sure.
Not whoever is going to meet out that punishment. I hope that whoever is going to meet out whatever punishment goes deep in prayer and follows what God would have them do. But a lot of times, Troy, what happens is that we get out in front of God.
Right.
And we use God as a yardstick. But the truth of the matter is grace and mercy covers us all.
Sure, I agree, but I think that grace and mercy are the flip side of a coin, that on the other side is justice and righteousness, and they go together. And so that was the thread that I was trying to sneak through the needle on the Facebook discussion. So where I landed on it, full disclosure, is the school and their board of directors had every right to keep her from walking. She signed the agreement. They were well within their rights. My argument on Facebook and my plea actually to the school, and I was hoping that people who are involved with the school would read what I was saying, was, look, you have the right to do it, but what an opportunity to make a statement to the community about what Christianity is ultimately all about. Yes, there is a standard. There are rules to follow, and we screw it up all the time, and we are within our rights to exact judgment in this case, but we're going to demonstrate grace and mercy and not enforce our rules as stringently as we might. I felt like they could have had their cake and eat it too. They could have said, yes, we stand for this righteousness. However, she has shown an attitude of repentance. She's made a good choice in not trying to hide her pregnancy, not having an abortion, which would have doubled up on the sin there. And so she tried to do the right thing, and we're going to honor that. I felt like they had an opportunity to do that, and I feel like I wasn't angry at Maddie. I wasn't angry at the school. I was really saddened by the whole situation. I was sad that she put herself in this situation, and I was sad that the school was somehow not seeing this opportunity to. The news was covering this. This was on the big national TV shows. This was all over the place. What an opportunity to proclaim the gospel to a secular audience. And I feel like it was a huge swing and a miss, or we just watched the pitch go by. Didn't even take the bat off our shoulder. And that was my discouragement. So I agree with you, but you wouldn't disagree that there are times when judgments have to be made and discipline needs to be enacted. Like if somebody is in open rebellion to the teachings of Christ and they're a member of your church, they might face excommunication from the Lord's table, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there are times we have to make those sorts of judgments.
Again, I will just say that I think that for me, I'm very careful as to who's meeting out that judgment and where we're getting that justification from. As a black man, in the 50s, in the 60s, churches were denying black folks the right to come in their church and to worship the Lord. Okay? And they used justifications.
Yeah, okay. You could have solved that by identifying as a white man.
I could have. and then I would have one of them false facts, wouldn't I?
Anyway, I don't know. Kendall, do you want to jump in before I move on to a different topic?
Yes,
you don't have to.
I was listening to everything that was shared, and I do remember the story. And I think oftentimes when these issues and similar issues like this are put on Front Street, we as a faith-based community, we miss an opportunity. It could have been, I believe, a profound teaching moment for not just the students. Sure, the school had a right, but because you have a right, doesn't mean that you always have the right to enforce it to a degree that would. We've got teenagers that are shamed enough.
Amen.
And we've got to figure out a way where we can reach them. And it's not just the school's principles. It's a teaching moment. What's going on in the home? How are we spreading the gospel? How are we teaching our children? How are we helping the parents? I think a major teaching moment was missed. Definitely, the word could have been spread. The gospel could have been spread. I believe what was spread more than anything was a juicy story about a school sticking to what their
right.
principles were, and we missed the moment.
Yeah, and let me just add, and to, in fairness, because I want to be fair on this, I think I disagree with how the school ended up deciding in this case and that they missed an opportunity. However, I think that Maddie and her family missed as well, because they decided to make this some sort of a, like almost like a legal challenge sort of, and they took it public and they mm-hmm. made it Christian versus Christian rather than dealing within a Christian family context and making a spectacle of this church trying to stand for righteousness. And and I saw her in a couple of the TV interviews, and I feel like she might have been really repentant about the whole thing at one point, but all of the attention, all of the pressure, and all of the people maybe egging her on caused her, I think, to take her eye off the ball. And she demonstrated, at least in a couple of moments, an attitude that seemed to show that maybe she wasn't quite as repentant as it would have been good to see. But it's a hard thing. What, she's 18 years old, just graduating high school. I mean, I'm asking an awful lot of her. But her family, her mom was there with her and stuff too. And I just feel like the family swung and missed too. I think everybody made the church not look as glorious as it could have. And that's the part that bugged me. So anyway, this is the Faith Debate on Fredericks News Radio, 930 WFMD. Joined this week by Julia Shern, the pastor of St. John's Bible Fellowship Church, and Kendall Lovelace, who is handles the evangelism for that church, the evangelist at St. John's. And we haven't heard his voice, I don't think, yet, but we're about to, I'm sure, is Daniel Rasvi, a law school graduate from Oak Brook College of Law. He's got a particular keen interest on legal issues as they relate to the church. And so here's one that's right up your alley, and it might not be the one you're expecting. This is from the Christian News Network. Headline is, Canadian Christian school reportedly told not to teach, quote-unquote, offensive Bible verses to children. Where is this taking place? Canada. Some like really, like North Korea maybe? Venezuela perhaps? Russia? Russia, Russia, Russia. Wait a minute. I've been told I need to get a rating spike for this show, so I'm just going to say for a minute. Russia, Russia, Russia.
Russia.
We're talking about Russia. Oh, wait a minute. Donald Trump, Russia. Donald Trump, Russia. We just had our ratings go up by like tenfold right there.
All
this
right.
is taking place in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Canada. Basically, the United States, just not smart enough to join the union, okay? So here's the story. A Christian school in Canada says that it is shocked after recently, I would be too, being told by the local school board that it should not teach any quote-unquote offensive Bible verses to children, particularly those that refer to homosexuality. Cornerstone Christian Academy in Kingman, that's the name of the town, I guess. It's interesting that people in Kingman don't recognize their king. But anyway, approximately an hour outside of the provincial capital of Edmonton, it says that it was approached by the Battle River School. There's a good name, right? Battle. They're from Poise for Battle. Battle River School Division, and asked to remove 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11 from its student handbook. That's a pretty well-known verse. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it talks about things in very stark, dramatic language. Mm-hmm. It makes it clear that certain things are sin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They were asked not to include it, it says, but this is Diane Hutchinson with the Battle River, she told Metro News, this is a quote. Oh, okay. She's the school people talking about what they told the school, or the people who rule the school about what they told this Christian school. We asked them not to include it, but perhaps use a different piece of scripture. There is a lot of love in the Word of God. We were concerned about that specific piece of scripture given today's legislation and sensitive environment. What's this legislation she's talking about? She was referring to the addition of homosexuals and transgenders to the Alberta Human Rights Act. The Academy removed the scripture as requested, but became concerned when board chair Lori Scorey advised school officials that you could see this one coming, couldn't you? Any scripture that could be considered offensive to particular individuals should not be read or studied in school. So first, it's just 1 Corinthians. And then the school idiotically acquiesces to that request. And now it's, well, there's a few other verses you might want to say either. By the way, this is, I think, the old King James Version, in case you're not real up to snuff on your Bible reading. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
And that's such a positive message that
yeah, you wouldn't
were a sinner.
Yeah,
now you're washed, you're clean, you're
being sanctified.
Amen.
Jesus loves you. He forgives you for all of your sins. God loved us while we are yet sinners.
So here's a line a little deeper in the story, and then I'm going to use this as my pivot to talk to you, Daniel. So it says, the Academy has since obtained legal representation from the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedom. So if this were taking place in the United States, and if they turn to you for legal representation in a few months when you get the good news that you pass the bar, your advice to them would be what?
Well, I don't know exactly what my advice might be, but—
He's so modest.
but I would say that this— seems, at least on a personal level, to me, very clear violation of our rights under the Constitution, especially as a Christian school. Now, I know in Canada they have different protections for freedom or lack thereof, and I'm not very familiar with Canadian laws on the subject, but at any rate, it's a Christian school. People are not being forced to go there. They're choosing to put their kids there. They're choosing to have them have the gospel preached to them, and the Bible makes it very clear. I mean, read from Proverbs. Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And everybody's familiar with 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction.
You are so optimistic. Everyone is familiar with 2 Timothy.
Well, that's one of the, more famous.
I could walk outside right now and the first 10 people I walk into wouldn't even know what 2 Timothy is.
And that reflects badly on the amount of evangelizing that the Christian church is doing. But
it speaks to the direct issue that you just brought up. That's why people don't hear the gospel, because
they're choosing.
Because someone is going to dampen the God. Don't you say that scripture? That's why you. That's me. But I just want to say this, and then Daniel, I'm really impressed. I'm glad when you pass that bar, we're going to get your card. You see, I think everything is predicated on one thing, and that's Psalms 14:1, when it says, "It is the fool who says." There is no God. And that's the premise that these folks come from. Yeah, they say they're Christian. Yes, they love the Lord. But deep down inside, they believe there is no God.
A little aside, by the way, I think we might have time to possibly touch on one more story. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not going to do my side, so we can try to do the story. Russia's Jehovah's Witnesses banned after they lose an appeal. This is from BBC News. Russia's Supreme Court has ordered the disbanding of the Jehovah's Witnesses on Russian territory. Wow. The ban came into effect after the court rejected an appeal by the religious group against a ruling in April, which declared it to be extremist. The Justice Ministry had argued that the group distributed pamphlets, we know that to be true about them, which incited hatred against other groups. I don't know if that's fair. The group described the ruling as the end of religious freedom in Russia. I didn't know it had begun. But anyway, the ruling means that the group's headquarters near St. Petersburg and 395 local chapters will close. It will be required to hand over all of its properties, known as kingdom halls, to the Russian government. The Jehovah's Witnesses are expected to appeal to the European Court of Human Rights, like Vladimir Putin will listen to that. But Russia may well ignore any verdict in their favor, you think? So my quick question on this is, could this happen here, do you think? And what would be our legal protections against such happening?
It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. It's been happening. The amount of erosion that is being done to the Christian faith and the Christian heritage in the United States has been happening for a long time, many decades. If this happened today, there would be still a very strong argument you can make in court to prevent the government from taking this property from the Jehovah's Witnesses. This whole idea of hate speech or inciting hatred, words are words. You can incite violence. If I say, hey, I'm encouraging you, Pastor, to go and hit Mr. Skinner over here, that's inciting violence. But unless I'm that explicit and I say, do this right now, that's not a crime, or at least it shouldn't be. You should be free to express your opinions and your beliefs, and if someone else is offended by that, well, that's not a crime that can be punished. You don't have a right under the Constitution not to be offended. There is no such right not to be offended.
I don't know. I like my safe space. I don't want you offending me inside my safe space.
But the reality is, if you're going to prohibit somebody from saying something that other people may be offended about, that's going to prohibit almost every type of speech. It's impossible to say something that no one is going to find offensive. Even hello, some people find that offensive. Maybe they don't have ears. They can't hear the word hello. Now you're offending them.
Lionel Richie does not like that news. Are you too young to know the reference?
Yeah, he's too young to know the reference.
Hello? Is it me you're looking for?
Well, I hear what you're saying, but very quickly, when the president of the United States says it's okay to rough up someone who's going to be arrested,
right?
Being one who has been on that other end,
yeah, that was not his best moment. That's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not.
Don't
I'm
be
not
too gentle when you throw him in the paddy wagon. Not his best moment.
And I'm not saying that there aren't types of speech that are inciting violence, but I think the vast majority of speech, especially speech by a religious organization such as Jehovah's Witness, they're not asking people to go kill
right.
other people.
Now, full disclosure, I'm not an advocate of the theology of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Agreed.
However,
agreed.
I don't think they're out there inciting violence. I mean, give me a break. Anyway, by the way, real quick, a thought on this. This is one of the arguments in support of the idea that churches should be exempt from taxes. Because if churches had to pay taxes and they went into default, the government could shut them down and take over their property, and that would seem to be an infringement of the protections that we have for religion in this country. Wow. So just as an aside there. Anyway, thank you so much. Julia Shearn, pastor of St. John's Bible Fellowship Church. Kendall Lovelace from the same church. Daniel Razvi on the show as well. I'm Troy Skinner. Our sponsor is Hilo Auto Sales, online at HiloAuto.com, and Tire Pros of Frederick. Visit us online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. Until next week, 167 and a half hours from now, God bless.